Today, I just kind of titled the message, What's Next? Because people have been asking, what's next? That we're finishing Return to Me. And so I've just said, well, let's just talk about what's next. And so we're going to talk about kind of a recap, review, two of the main topics that I feel that are in here. I'm going to give you some of the things that you've sent, that some of you have sent in to me, let you all hear some of the testimonies, you might say. But I want you to come back tonight, because what I'm sharing this morning, there's more that has come in to me through via email and just personal conversations. And so I want you to be back tonight at 6:30 as we have our testimony service about what God is doing, what God has done in people's lives, and what they learned through this experience of going through this walk with Return to Me. And then the prayer vigil as well on Thursday. I had a great time at the prayer vigil. We had at least 35 people that came, 34 that came here. One prayed, maybe more prayed. We sent it to everybody that was out of town, by the way. Let them know, hey, you may not be here, but we want you to be a part of something that God is doing in our church. And I had some great comments. Kathy and Curtis Kinneman were the first two here that morning. They started off, and it wasn't long after that Kathy posted. I'd posted something on Facebook, and she posted back and said, what an awesome time. She said, what a great time to be in the sanctuary by yourself and just let God speak and work through you. And so I hope that you had a chance to be a part of that, because I got other comments throughout the day Thursday similar to that. So be here tonight. You get to hear more of those testimonies about what God is doing, and we want to enjoy that. And then immediately following, this we do this just to get more of you to come. We're going to have a reception afterwards, so there's food. Ribeye steak dinners. I'm just kidding. It's just going to be cookies and snacks, stuff like that, and some drinks. But we want to come and just wrap up this time together of what Return to Me has done and spoken, and how it's acted in our church, how people are responding to what God has done in their own lives and in their group studies tonight. So I want you to be a part of that. And then this Thursday evening, don't forget, we have a patriotic cookout, and we have an entertainer coming. I was going to tell you his name, but Mickey, I'll have to do that later because I've already forgot it. But anyway, you want to be here for the hour, not here, but out at the property. We're going to have a cookout there, and you've received some stuff on it, and we'll send out some more this week for you as well. But we're looking at a couple of different passages this morning. And we're going to close the service today with Ephesians 3, 20, 21. So that one's on the screen, she did get it changed. Thank you so much. I didn't remember if I sent that to Linda or not. So you're going to see 1 Peter 5, 5 through 7, which I had not originally sent to put in the bulletin. But today, we come to the end of this series, of our Return to Me series, based on the Bible study by the same name that we've done individually throughout the last 7-8 weeks. And we've done that individually, and then we come together weekly for a group study, and it's been beneficial to many people who have taken part in that. It's a powerful study, and many people can and will tonight attest to that. And by the way, you can come and you can give testimony if you haven't told me. Somebody asked me today if I had enough people there. I said, anybody can come and just share with us tonight. We're going to have microphones set up. You won't even have to come up here on the platform. You can share from down there, but we want to hear and let you share with others what God is doing and what God has spoke to you about through that study. It's a powerful study, as I mentioned. And it has the ability to change your life. And it's changed some of the lives of the people sitting around you this morning. It has that power, if you're willing, to return to God as He speaks to you through that study. Now, I'm not going to share the whole thing that Jack sent me, because I want him to share tonight. You need to be here tonight to hear. If nothing else, you need to be here to hear Jack's testimony, because he said when I first was telling about it and Returned to Me, and he said when we first reading about the study, what the study was about, he said he was a little offended that the author had the audacity to say that I needed to return to God. And this is not Jack's word, just to be mine. Somebody saying, well, he doesn't know me. How does he know I need to return to God? Now Jack will share his testimony. You need to be here to hear the rest of it. He stuck with it, and you need to hear what happened as he stuck with it, as he went through that the study, and how God opened up, showed that to him. But our theme verse, and where the title of the book comes from, the title of the series comes, is from Malachi chapter 3, verse 7, and it says, "Since the days of your fathers, you have turned from my statutes. You have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts." This is God speaking. God is speaking to us saying, return to me, and I will return to you. Now we know God never turns and walks away from us. But there are certain things that we do that God's saying we need to return to God. And he will pour out his blessings on us. One person commented on Facebook about this study, said, this book has helped me so much. I'm so blessed to have the opportunity to study this devotional book. It has really convicted me on some of the things I need to change or do better. Some important things I got from the book were praying more, using my talents and my best ability, sharing my testimony of what God is doing in my life. It has really changed me for the better. All praise to God. And I encourage you to put yours on Facebook too. Let people see and hear that, what God is speaking to you about. Edna said, I believe that God is teaching us that having division in our church has brought about some setbacks and that we need to let the Holy Spirit dwell in our lives to produce the changes God will bring about, encouraging and praying for each other in unity of faith. That's from God to have that revelation. As you have studied these past 7 weeks personally, where has God taken you? How have you been challenged? How have your thought patterns been confronted? I believe there are probably people in this church that didn't take this, Mickey, because they didn't want their thought patterns challenged. They're afraid to have their thought patterns challenged or confronted, not by man, but by God. And you know, the very first thing that any sinner or any believer needs to do, any sinner needs to do, anything that we need to do before we can return to God or before we ever turn to God the first time, the first thing we need to do is repent. And I think that's what this is talking about. It's repentance. And that's one of the things that we learned as we walk through this. Repentance is required before we can return to God or before we ever first turn to God. And I would share with you that I believe this is an ongoing process, repentance. It's not a one-time deal. Oh yeah, I did that 30 years ago. It's a daily thing. We've talked about that. In fact, it was in one of our studies. We must die to self daily. It's a daily thing, and it's an ongoing thing, even throughout the day. It's not just something to do before you roll out of bed and say, God, forgive me this morning. I repent of anything I did yesterday or before you go to bed at night. It's an ongoing thing. As you walk through the day, if you're a believer, when you do something that comes that falls short of God's glory, what God wants of you, the Holy Spirit will remind you need to repent right then. It's an ongoing process of repentance. You see, we all live in a fleshly body, and therefore we are prone to live for the flesh. No matter how hard we try not to, we will live for the flesh at certain times. We will fall into the fleshly ways. Yet we also know, as believers, we are to live in the Spirit. And to live in the Spirit is to allow God's Holy Spirit to live in and to rule in our hearts and in our lives, in all aspects of our life. And this is not easy. I'll admit it. It's not. This is not easy. Yet it is God's plan. And it should be our hunger. We should hunger for this. We should want to drink it in. We should want to feed on His Word and what He wants so that we can listen to His Holy Spirit. It is God's plan. We should hunger after it, to live according to God's desires through His Spirit. God says, return to me, and I will return to you. I will pour out more blessings, is the way I like to sometimes think of that, on you. Let us pray right now for one another as well as ourselves in this light. You pray this silently as I pray it out loud. Heavenly Father, Lord of armies, Lord of hosts, we have gathered together as your people to seek you, to worship you, to praise you. We recognize our deep need to experience your presence. As we have studied this series, you have made your desires and our shortcomings known to each of us. We have heard your plea to us. Help us each one, Lord, and even as a body of believers, to fall on our spiritual knees daily, requesting the strength that we need to follow you as you desire. Continue to reveal to us the areas that we need to surrender to your Holy Spirit so that we can be used by you to reach a lost and dying world. May our return to you become a running after you, running towards you, running for you, always seeking how to be more engaged in your desired work for us, each one of us. And may we pray for this for one another calling different individuals by name, lifting them up to you each day as you place their names on our hearts. We ask you, Lord, to enable us to return to you so thoroughly that you will receive great joy and glory. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Another shared that following about following his time and return to me study, he said, open myself up, open myself up to everyone around me. Show the good, the bad, and the ugly. Just show it all, he said. Just show the good, the bad, and the ugly. Let everyone know that even though I am imperfect, I'm not perfect, I am a child of God. That my journey continues for a relationship with God, even though and because I am imperfect. And I think that fits perfectly with our next point. We talk about repentance as our first point. Repentance is a constant, continual thing throughout the day, I believe, each and every day, because we live in the flesh. Our second point is to seek humility. We've sang much about being humble and humility this morning. To seek humility is to open yourself up to reveal the good, the bad, and the ugly. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 7 shares this. It says, all of you clothe yourself with humility toward one another, because God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your cares on him, because he cares about you. The Bible really talks quite a bit about humility, but why is humility so hard to conquer? Perhaps because it requires laying down everything that you desire in the flesh. It requires us to lay that down. Humility requires you to allow yourself to be trampled on, if that's God's desire. And I know many men and women of the faith who have been trampled on. But that's what humility requires, and that's what God calls us to. It's tough, isn't it? Certainly it is. Yet this passage tells us God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. We must be extremely careful here, as it is easy to take our point of view and make it a point of pride. That has happened in many churches, and it has happened in this church, and some still exist today. But humility requires us to allow ourselves to put others first and to even be trampled on, if that's what it means, what God desires. Joyce shared this about our study, and one thing that God revealed about our church. She said, we are not doing enough praying. We are not walking close enough with our master. And you know, when I read that, as a church leader, I could have taken offense. We're not praying enough. But I didn't. You know what I did? I just smiled as big as I can smile right now. I can't smile real big, but I smiled as big as I could with this Bell's palsy. But I smiled. Because she got it. God shared that with her. God showed her that we're not praying enough. We talked about this Wednesday night in our prayer meeting and how we've already incorporated more prayer and Bible reading in our Sunday morning services, and we're going to include more. Mickey came up with some great ideas this week, and we're tossing around and looking at things to do, but we're going to include more. And if we're not spending as much time as we need to in the Word and in prayer, then she's right. We're not walking with our master as close as he wants us to walk. And so we need to return to God in that manner. Another person said, return to me helped me to realign my heart and thoughts on the words of Christ. His will for me and for his church. She didn't say our church, for his church. Again, that verse says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. In other words, God will not listen to the proud. They have no audience with him. But the one who has humbled himself or herself, to that person, God gives more than he deserves. That's called grace. Receiving free gifts that are far better than you deserve. Folks, I may not even deserve this. I may deserve a half-running, dilapidated old moped, for those of you who remember what that is. But God gives me a nice car to drive that gets pretty good gas mileage. It gets real good gas mileage compared to most. And it has air conditioning in the summer and heat in the winter. That's grace, because I don't deserve all that. And that's just my car. That's not my life. That's not what God's doing in my life. Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14, tells the story of a Pharisee who's a church leader and a publican who's a tax collector. And they were criminals back in Jesus' day. But it tells a story of these two men, a Pharisee and a publican, praying. The Pharisee, the church leader, was praying about how good he is. God, look at me. Look at how good I am. Look at what I do. All these things that I do that are good. And he was talking about what good things he does. And he even prays, bragging that he is so much better than this publican standing right over here. I'm better than him, God. And the publican, standing across the way praying as well, would not even look up to heaven. He was ashamed and bowed his head. And he was continually beating his own chest into submission as he confessed to God with words just how evil he had been, pleading for God's forgiveness. Folks, I don't know about you, but I fall on my knees. I get down on the floor in my office at home and just pray, prostrate, knowing how evil I am living in the flesh, knowing what I'm capable of if I don't allow God to take control of everything in my life. And I don't say that because I've reached where I need to be, but I want us to understand that it was not the Pharisee, it was not the church leader who Jesus commended. It was the second man, the publican, not the religious leader. It was the publican who displayed true humility. Verse 14 says, Jesus says, I tell you that this man, the publican, rather than the other, this man went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. We need to understand this. We need to understand what humility is. I went to serve at a church. I went to serve a church in Georgia at one time on staff. And before my first Sunday there, we were having a staff meeting, and the pastor said, Jordan, I want you to don't get, I forgot what word he used now. I had it this morning. I was thinking about it. But he said, don't get scared. Don't get shook or off it when if somebody comes anytime during the service to the altar and kneels down to pray. And I wasn't sure what he meant because I'd never seen that before. But sure enough, in that church, people were not afraid to come to the altar. Not during the invitation. It might be during a song. See, God speaks to us, and we heard that in the Mickey's prayer, last prayer, I think it was Mickey's prayer, that said, let God speak to us. He speaks to us through the music. He speaks to us through the prayer. If we listen, if we open ourselves up to Him. And there were, it was not uncommon. And it wasn't a flood of people, but it was not uncommon on any given Sunday for somebody to just come and just kneel during a song. Or to come and kneel during a certain prayer time. I don't know. They may have even been coming kneeling during announcements. You see, folks, that's humility. But most of us are too prideful to follow what God wants when God asks us to go and to pray with someone or to go and to pray at the altar and do things. There's a great exercise on page 109 of the Return to Me book. There's several exercises in here. And there's a great exercise on page 109 that lists 43 action steps that you can take to engage in humbling yourself, to humble yourself, to become a person of humility. These are just a few of them that I listed down. Lift up others above yourself. That's humility. And God and Jesus told us and calls us to lift everyone up, not just somebody else, not just our spouse or our family, but it says to lift everyone up above yourself. Put yourself behind everyone else. Everyone else goes first. Lift others up above yourself. Another one says, accept humiliating circumstances as valuable lessons. You know what we always want to do? You know what's natural for us in a humiliating circumstance is to defend ourselves and pass the blame somewhere else. You've heard me say before, don't pass the blame, shoulder the responsibility. Doesn't matter what happened last year or 10 years ago or 20 years ago. We're here now. And so it's our responsibility, it's on our shoulders to carry the Great Commission forward from this day forward, always. Accept humiliating circumstances as valuable lessons, not as an excuse to blame someone else. And then it says, you ready for this one? Do the things pride tells you not to do. Do the things pride tells you not to do. And too often, pride tells us, don't go do that. You don't want to make a spectacle of yourself. You don't want other people to see you doing that. Do the things pride tells you not to do. Another one says, let others wash your feet. Now, that you don't have to take that literally. I've had that done before, by the way, in a church. I had someone come in to do the Seder Supper for us, and he, I won't say demanded, but he wanted the staff to come forward, and he washed our feet. That's a very humbling experience. But what he's saying, that let others wash your feet, let others serve you, let others help take care of you, let others do for you. And then I like this one too. Look up at the infinite God and see just how small you really are. You want to see just how small you really are, how insignificant you really are, and all that matters? Now, you're significant to God, don't get me wrong there. But when it comes to prideful things versus humility, look up at the infinite God and see just how small you really are. And the last one I wrote down here is accept and perform menial tasks without complaint. That's not my spiritual gift. Yeah, go talk to somebody else. That's not mine. Somebody else got that gift, not me. Folks, I encourage you, if you have one of these study guides, pages 106 to 111 has some great exercises that we need to continue to do, like this one, on a regular basis. I mean, think of this. What could God do? What's next? What could God do in your life personally if you committed to walk through these exercises and these daily sessions again? If you'd committed to do that from now to the end of 2022, the rest of the year, you decided, you know, I'm just going to keep going back through here. And you can get with one or two or three other people. Say, you know, let's get together and talk about these from time to time, from week to week. What do you think God could do in your life personally if you committed to walk through that from now till the end of 2022? Here's some examples from what a couple of our members said they did as they went through this study, what God led them to do. One, June, I think it was, said she cut out scripture to go along with our Bible study. And she also cut out some of the prayers in the book. Now, she's not saying she cut them out and threw them away. I didn't like that one. I'm going to cut that one out and throw it away. That's not what she did. She cut them out. What did she do with them? I really don't know, but here's what I would have done with them if I cut them out, because I've done this before and I've encouraged churches to do this too. Cut them out, put them on your bathroom mirror in the morning so that you see it every morning. You see it every night as you brush your teeth before you go to bed. You see it any time you're in there in the bathroom, see it in that mirror. Put one on your rearview mirror. I used to do this and put just a small scripture verse or something on the corner of my rearview mirror so I could read it every time I looked up that rearview mirror. I'd see it and was reminded of that verse. Put one on the door that you walk out of every morning. If it's to your garage door or the door that you exit every morning, put one right there so that you see it, the last thing you see before you leave your house. So thank you for that one, because that's a good one, and I love doing that and think it's a great way to learn scripture and to be reminded as you leave the house who you represent every day. Rita said this. She said she found a praying app on her phone with scripture and prayer. Twice a day, her phone will ring and let her know that it's time to stop, to read scripture, and pray. That is awesome, and that fits today, right, with what we do today for our busy schedule. Just phone's ringing, it's time for you to stop and pray. And it gives her scripture and it gives her a prayer to pray. Folks, when you humble yourself, God develops a spirit of humility within you, and he leads you to these sorts of things. And it is with that spirit of humility that God can and will use you for things far greater than you ever thought of or imagined. Things that you never dreamed possible. Let's pray. Oh God, we can be so arrogant, so haughty, so self-sufficient and prideful that we honestly deserve your rebuke. Today, Lord, we humble ourselves before you and acknowledge that our pride has gotten in the way of serving you in certain areas of each of our lives, does from time to time, from serving you and worshiping you as you desire and as you deserve. Forgive us, Lord. And then give us your undeserved grace. Now, even asking that sounds prideful, but please hear our heart. Hear our heart's cry. Convict us, Lord, of every word or action that reveals that we are thinking more highly of ourselves than what you know us to be true. Help us to walk in humility in front of the watching world this week and from this day forward, all of our days on earth. Help me, Lord, to walk in humility in front of the watching world in a way that draws them to you. And may we as a church reflect Christ's humility in our lives as we pray this in his name. Amen. What's next is our challenge for the coming days. What's next is to stay connected. Now, one person in one of the groups that I was in shared how this has been a challenge. This has been challenging for him, and he appreciated that challenge and loved that challenge and what it was going forward. And he also spoke of, he said, and you give us challenges. You challenge us, and I try to every week to issue God's challenge to you. What is God's challenge for you? But our challenge is to stay connected. Stay connected to together. You may stay connected to those in your group. You may stay connected some other way. But stay connected to God's Word. Stay connected to what you learned as you walk through this study from God's Word. One person wrote about this. He said, I love this study. I love studying along with others. I love our time together. I learn something new about myself and others weekly. It's been very challenging. Folks, my prayer is that it has been challenging. My prayer is that it has been challenging to everyone who has studied this and walked along with it, with us. If God's Word is not challenging us, then we are likely not at the spiritual place we think we are. If God's Word, on a daily basis, and not just because we study this, on a regular basis, on a weekly basis, on a daily basis, if God's Word is not challenging you, then you're likely not at the spiritual place where you think you are or where you should be with God. If God's Word and His will is not challenging you to do better or to be better, then you're likely not following Him as Christ demonstrated through His life. Our duty, our obligation to Christ is to follow His example in having compassion for others, serving others above self, putting others above ourselves, serving them first, and then to stay connected to God the Father. We do that through the empowering of the Holy Spirit who's living in us by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We stay connected through Bible study, individual and group study, and living in an attitude of prayer, as we've talked about in past weeks. Here's what a 13-year-old said about it, going through this. It's a nice, short thing you can do every day to stay connected to God. It was eye-opening. It made me realize how important prayer is, more than I had thought. These are just some of the testimonies. These are some of the things. Repentance and humility, two of the topics that I believe God shared with us throughout this study and that some of you have shared with me and will share tonight in our time together. I'm going to finish, we're going to enter into our time of invitation. I'm going to finish with the same scripture that Johnny's going to read at the end of the service today. But it's Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. It says, your word says, now to Him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask and think according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. This is where we go from here. What's next? To Him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask according to the power that works in us. Let's pray. God Almighty, Almighty God, unseal within us the wellspring of your grace. Cleanse our hearts, each one, of all that is not holy, and cause your gift of new life to flourish once again through me and through us. Grant this through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, who lives in and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit. one God, forever and ever. Amen. Stand with me as we enter into our time of invitation, God's invitation. Thank you for this hour. Guide us now in this time of invitation. May we respond to you. Thank you for what you've done in this last 7 or 8 weeks as we study. Now, God, guide us in this moment. What would you have each one of us do? May we respond to you, Lord, as you want us to, not according to our pride or our own selfish nature, but may we respond as you want us to, as you desire us to and call us to right now. Father, for someone here who does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, as the one who came and died for them, and then rose from the grave to bury their sins so that they would have a place in heaven for all eternity, then I pray that today would be the day they settle that and they come to know what understanding salvation is. And they can come forward during this time too. Lord, whatever it is, lead us to respond as only you can and what you desire. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You respond as God leads you.